The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of the pastor-teacher, and we're on page 4. In addition, are we in fellowship? That's your responsibility, to be in fellowship, so you can receive the information communicated to you at this extremely, extremely late hour in the church age. I figure that if you haven't got it by now, you're not going to get it if you're not adjusted to this doctrine and its ramifications. And I'm going to make some things clear one more time. And if it's a rebuke to certain people, then it's a rebuke. It's done in love. But it is to make clear the sanctity of right pastor, right congregation. And all the rest of this nonsense is a violation. It's a violation. And you are not to give anybody any slack with regard to the violation of this principle. I don't violate it. Believers aren't free to violate it. Once they've established in their own mind that a particular individual is their right pastor, it's a marriage. It isn't a free-for-all. I can't go somewhere just because I want to, because I greener pastures or what have you. And one of you can't go out here and start up a church and think it's okay. You read me? It's a violation. It's a complete violation. And you do not countenance people who do this. Somebody emails me and tells me, well, we love you and we're praying for you. Keep it. Love without loyalty is nothing. It's just talk. You love me, but you've left. You've gone elsewhere. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be around it. I understood this principle very early on in my ministry, even before I was a pastor. You made the decision in your own free will and time. He's my right pastor. And I haven't let you down with regard to the content. Anybody who comes in here and pays attention and applies Bible doctrine will go to maturity and get their crown if they stick to the end. And whatever people have jumped ship for, it isn't because even that I taught a false doctrine. They may say that, but I did not. I did not teach to you anything about the earth that was wrong. I corrected 45 years of being wrong on this subject. I could have brushed it under the table. I could have said it doesn't matter. But it does matter, because I hold the Word of God and the mind of Christ to be sacred. Yes, we're all allowed to grow and figure stuff out as we move along, and I have on many things over the years. So, this doctrine, maybe it's appropriate that I review it, touch on it, before we get to next week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We thank you that you have given us the truth so that we can be ready and prepared for the very, very soon coming of your Son. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, I'm distracted. This isn't the normal time This isn't like yesterday when, okay, let's resume with verse 6 and work our way through it. I feel like right now I'm basically exhorting you at the end. You can take stock of your Christian life. If there's some corrections you need to make, you can make them. Major ones. Maybe the kind that would upset you at the end spiritually after you put all this into it. This is a lampstand. Jesus Christ established the lampstand and he put yours truly here. I didn't make this happen. I just followed what God laid out in front of me back in the day. This is a lampstand. We don't practice what the fundamentalist world practices. Multiple pastors running all over amok. And I sure as blank would not take members of another pastor teacher's church and form a church around it. I will work at McDonald's first. Stand in line at Walmart. I don't touch that. That is way out of line. Now, for those of you who are brand new here, so what the heck is he talking about? You just have to endure. Okay? You don't do that. You don't mess with another man's sheep. Kaput? Capiche, I mean? All right, and regarding the timing of the rapture, I've laid out the doctrine of the fig tree for you. I've gone over it and over it and over it and over it. We eliminated the nonsense. Jesus could come at any old time. That's utter nonsense. Israel had to be a nation because Israel is the focal point of the whole tribulation, a nation state. Israel became a nation in unbelief like the Old Testament prophets said they would. They start this back up. They come out of their captivity, they start a nation, and it becomes official in 1948, May of 48. I don't care who was involved that made it happen. I don't care if the Rothschilds were involved. I don't care who was involved. Yes, a bunch of unbelieving Jews. But that's what the Bible says. The valley of the vision of the dry bones. Precursor, the bones clinking together. Noise. We need a homeland. Herzl, all that business. Well, there was a time when it was appropriate. A tree, like a fig tree, fruit tree, goes through a dormant period, the winter months. But it comes out of its dormancy, and what's the first thing you see? Little green things that will develop into leaves. Fruits last. And so, the fig tree in the Olivet Discourse is the sign of the last generation. And a generation is a max 80 years. So we run all the way up to 2028 max. And then back to 7 for the rapture. They didn't know anything about the rapture. None of that detail was in there at all. Because we're believers that there is a pre-tribulational rapture. And I had some people that didn't agree with that. Fine. They're not here now. No, we're not going through the tribulation. Not a day of it. The minute the trib hits, I mean, it's hard to even imagine. All this disappearing people in graves and on their feet, all gone in front of everybody else. Vacate this place. Two witnesses appear in the Middle East. Oh, and they'll get worldwide attention fast because of the environmental judgments they're going to bring down on the nations. They will be hated, but they'll be protected for 3.5 years. And they are Moses and Elijah. And they will be fully equipped to function in a modern world. They'll have all the terminology, everything they need. They won't have to ask anybody what a cell phone is. And then there will be the Antichrist and the false prophet, who I think is going to be Nostradamus, because the false prophet is a Jew. I don't have time to prove this now. I've gone over it. And that will be electrifying. And the nature in which he will appear as this man from the past, a doctrine taught many, many, many years ago, the doctrine of the Antichrist, the identification of Alexander the Great. And then, in Revelation 17, when all this is hitting, in Revelation 18, these two bookend chapters, 17 deals with a Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church. You'll play hell to find any interpreters that will call this the Roman Catholic Church. They think it's a New Age religion at the end. It's goofy. This is the Catholic Church that gets taken down by the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist will not tolerate any religion outside of worship of his own person. It'll be open, in-your-face Luciferianism. No ifs, ands, or buts. No doctoring it up. And God will put into his heart to take down the Catholic Church, to pillage it, to plunder it. Just like they did in the ancient world when they would conquer a country and then they would plunder their temples. There's a lot of value in those things. He's going to take it down. God has a case against that organization. It has a long history of incredible evil. Then 18 deals with the United States. And with regard to the voices out of heaven, there will be an angel. I gave you the three big announcements. Get out of the United States. Well, first, the gospel. Get out of the United States to its citizens. And third, don't take the mark of the beast, which is a technology that was not in place until very, very recently. And that there'll be these voices that come out of heaven. People are going to have to start getting used to voices coming out of heaven, starting with the trumpet and the command to raise the church. Everybody's going to hear this. Everywhere. It's just around the corner. Just around the corner. If you're not prepared, you're not prepared. And so there is this extended quotation, very long quotation, in this chapter of an announcement that will be heard by Americans and whoever, and the command for my people to come out of her. Because once the rapture occurs, and once the evangelization of the human race occurs, a bunch of people are going to click over and become saved. A lot of Jewish Americans are going to come to salvation. And they are going to fulfill the command to get out of this country and not participate in her wrath, etc., etc. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Analogy to the Tower of Babel being built up. And this imaginary tower of sins reaches this point that the sins and the evil matches the appropriate judgment, which is complete and total annihilation of this country by fire. So the chapter is devoted to that. And a big, long presentation here by a voice out of heaven. And he cries out, "Fallen, fallen," in anticipation, because, and gives a list of the various things and describes her and her sins, both domestic and international. And this will happen in 1 hour. And then to top it all off, he'll take up a great millstone in verse 21 and pitch it into the ocean. That's the base, the round base on which the Statue of Liberty sits. How appropriate. Because that is the primary symbol of the United States. There's two things, there's more than two, but there's two primary things that identify the United States in prophecy. One, it is a leading economic power, and two, it is built on immigration. Do you know any other nation that would fulfill that? No, you do not. And so forth. So these are the things that are just about ready to happen based on the doctrine of the fig tree and the timing factor. And of course, look around you today. What's coming? What's the wrath that's hitting this country? How would you like to be in New Orleans with no electricity for 3 weeks? All their transmission lines are down. All that food's going to rot. And all these people are stuck there. You got to drive 100 miles just to get water. And after the storm's over, passed, now they're going to have scorching heat. It is so obvious of what's coming down in this country. A major resort is about to burn up. Lake Tahoe. All these people that went out there to play golf and get on a boat and do all their stuff, they're in a big line in a bunch of smoke trying to get out of there. These are unprecedented fires. Never seen anything like it. This can't continue. This, and then throw in the whole plan to vaccinate everybody. Throw all that into it, and all the chaos is coming. This is just further spurs this whole timing factor on. So I'm speaking to you out of season, due to the fact of where we're at in history, at the dead end. I never knew how it would end. I mean, I could have died. But we're not having a quiet walk to the rapture. And for those who are positive, it's not going to be a surprise, because the time is almost over. I know, it's strange. It's just what it is. Next week, someplace people had to get that close. We're that close. So what do I got? 4 more Bible classes? Maybe 5? Do you only have to put up with me 5 more times? 4 more times? And we're going to be hauled out of here. Thank God. Don't worry about your kids. God's going to take care of that too. Somebody had to be your age and be in your situation as a believer. And he's going to take all the bad ones out too, all the nitwits. They're not prepared for this. Their pastors should have got them ready for this. Their pastors should have got them lined out on these things. So the pastor's SG3 in point 10 is promised for a finished course. Well, regarding me, we'll see. He's going to be my judge. The one thing I can say is, I haven't held anything back. Nothing that I knew to be true. And I've been willing to correct what was wrong. The classic example at the end of my ministry is the doctrine of the flat earth. It's so obvious to anyone who will objectively study it, even with an idea, I'm going to refute it, but I'm going to listen to their arguments. But I don't have time for that anymore. I did that. The information's there. You can go over it yourself. I don't have time to reteach any of this. This is it. And I got a lot of hell for it. Oh well. So be it. We've been conned by the God of this world and by those kind of people who are God haters and follow the fake science that's so out there. When you put it all together, it's insane. The cosmology that has been pumped at us in 100 directions. So we have Paul's statement, finished course. We've seen that illustrated by the athletic analogy. It's given at the rapture. We looked at 1 Peter 5:4, contrasted with three other categories of ministers, Luke 12. Well, okay. Jesus goes to the trouble to show that there's different categories of ministers. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants? The analogy is here now in the church age. He put me in charge of you all. And you all were not slaves. You were not tricked into coming here. You may have been invited by someone, talked to by someone. Might even been me. But you came of your own free will. To give them their rations at the proper time. You have to take care of them. So you got a big estate, you got servants, they've got to have what they need to survive and function with. So I've given you your rations, Bible doctrine, at the appropriate time. Blessed is that slave who the master finds so doing when he returns. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. A big promotion. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on that day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. This would be a minister, a person in the ministry, quote unquote, who's an unbeliever. There's plenty of them out there. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will received many lashes. This indicates loss and shame at the bema seat. But the one who did not know it and committed sins worthy of flogging will receive but a few. This is interesting. You know who's going to take it the worst at the bema seat? Someone who knew better and then didn't do it. Versus somebody who was just kind of a putz and in the ministry and stumbled around like, you know, so many of them. It's not going to go as hard for those kind of people as it is for somebody who knew and had been exposed to sound doctrine as a pastor teacher, an adjusted pastor teacher at one point, and then blew it off. How that works out at the Bema, we'll see. I've always thought it would be worse experience emotionally for someone who went to a certain point spiritually, was on the right track, maybe even in maturity, and then dropped off, and then they're raptured, versus just some believer out there that doesn't know very much, doesn't care to, and they get up there. Yeah, they're going to have a shame factor, but the person that actually knew the right thing and didn't do it, and maybe even at one point agreed with it full-heartedly, and then they go a different direction. Hence, all those men, or however many of those men, whom Paul addressed there at Ephesus when he prophesied over them and said, some of you, you're going to go off the deep end, drag believers off with you, etc., etc. So that's that. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few. For from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to him who has entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. All right. Source of sanctified boasting at the Bema. We've studied verses that show that there's going to be those who make it are going to engage in unabandoned celebration. Those of you who make it, you're going to be in that group to celebrate madly. Don't restrain anything. You won't. Now, there's another aspect of this, which I've given many years ago. There are 24 elders will be honored to sit on thrones before the throne of God the Father during the ceremonies leading to the second advent, Revelation 4:4. And they're not angels. That's clear by the language here. And why these 24? And 24 isn't a very big number when you consider the fact that through history, there have been a lot of individuals who have functioned as, quote, ministers. Now, I write off all denominationalism. I don't care if it's the Southern Baptist Convention. They can say our churches are independent and all the rest. No, they're run from the top-down organization. That's denominations. They have a headquarters. They may not place pastors per se like some of these denominations. Denominationalism is not in the Word of God. It was a human invention down the road. We got this is what we believe, so we're all going to get under this umbrella, and this is what we're going to do. Denominationalism is a man-made operation. So that would eliminate a bunch of people. So in this vision of John's, he has the throne of God, and with this rainbow around the throne, this is the emerald throne because it has an emerald. The rainbow isn't multicolored; it's emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white. Now that's the general clothing of the righteous. White represents imputed righteousness. And golden crowns on their heads, or wreaths. That's they earned the crown. All right. Now we move and we move further into it, and we find out that the they will worship him who's and cast their crowns before the throne. The chapter 5. The 24 elders, in addition to having crowns and white garments, each one, verse 8 in chapter 5, each one holding a harp, a musical instrument, a stringed instrument, and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So these 24 are all circled around on their own individual thrones. And they cast their crowns before the Lord as a symbol of the fact that it's because of him and God's grace that we're here. And they have this incense, which that they somehow offer up, which is what prayers? The prayers of believers through time who have prayed for the coming kingdom of God. Okay, moving on. I just wanted to tell you about that. That's a 24 also is of significance because the ancient priesthood of Israel, when they got so many priests in the day of David, he had to reorganize it into 24 orders. 24 orders. There were so many. You remember John the Baptist's father. He was in one order. It just happened to fall to him that he got to go into the temple because on a particular occasion, et cetera, et cetera. He was in order, whatever, I forgot. So the royal priesthood for eternity will be classified in 24 orders. And as I studied this, it's apparent that the 24 elders are not the apostles, the 12 apostles. But anyway, that they're those pastor teachers in time who carried out and did what they were supposed to do, like Timothy presumably did. We'll see. There is the parent-child relationship provides various insights into the right pastor, right congregation relationship. Galatians chapter 4. Uh, 19 and 20. Another observation. How easy is it, if believers do not have their guard up at all times, how easy is it to trip up good believers? Believers who have been given sound doctrine. The others, they're... But this is the Galatian churches. They get infiltrated by these Judaizers who are telling them that Paul was not correct about the way of salvation. Not 100% correct. That he was preaching an easy salvation. That you got to keep the law and be circumcised. Now remember, the Galatians didn't have a Bible they could run to like you and I do. We can go cite chapter and verse on things. They had... Yes, they might have had access to the Old Testament. Maybe. There was no printing press. There was no go to a bookstore and buy a copy of the Bible in your language. That didn't come until much later. So they had to remember what Paul taught them. They're not sitting out there with a pen and paper taking notes. They have to remember this. So these very persuasive types infiltrated the church. I'm thinking right up front, who in the hell are you? I've just been with the Apostle Paul, and I saw this man come to our town, and I saw the miracles he did, and everything in his teaching, and the way he handled himself. I don't think I'm listening to you. Slam. But they didn't. They entertained these people. They undermined the grace and the truth that they had been taught, and it threw them all off. They didn't go all the way to the point. See, these are Gentiles. And these Jews come in, real persuasive, tell them that salvation isn't just by faith in Christ. Yes, He is the Messiah, the Savior, you know. But you also have to keep the law and be circumcised. Did Paul say anything like that? No. We call them legalists, trying to add something to the salvation adjustment. There's denominations out there like that. There are. You got to be baptized, or you can't go to heaven. That isn't true. Baptism is a requirement for believers after salvation, but it's simply a ritual. It doesn't add to the salvation adjustment one iota. It's just you're being obedient to God and fulfilling one of the two rituals for this dispensation. But this is how easy it is for people to get tripped up if they're listening to the wrong people. If they're entertaining this mess. So when you start hearing strange stuff, it's time to end the conversation. I'm not listening to that. And all people, Paul. So what's Paul have to do here? He says, my children, verse 19, with whom I am again in labor. That's the end game of giving birth, labor. Until Christ is formed in you. Whatever was formed in them as a result of this teaching was not Christ in them. And Christ here, Christ formed in you, is not the person of Christ. It's his mind. The mind of Christ. You've got to learn to distinguish that at times in Scripture. But I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone. For I am perplexed about you. They spiritually were, as they would say, on the rocks. Now they snapped out of it as a result of this letter. This letter would have never been written. This letter was written because false teachers insinuated themselves into those local churches. And these false teachers were believers, but they were corrupt. Completely corrupt. They're not going to take you anywhere spiritually, but downhill. In other words, they were cast under a spell. He uses the word bewitched by these false teachers. So that's what I've seen around here. People easily taken in by others. If it doesn't conform to what you've been hearing and been documented for you, then blow it off. I don't care if it's a familiar person suddenly telling you the opposite of what you've heard for your entire life or the time you've been here. Don't entertain them. Shut it down. The fact that people didn't shut it down, it's happened over and over here. Taking them aside. You want to come out and have coffee with me? One person said, that person never even hardly talked to me. And all of a sudden he wants to go out and have coffee with me. And then starts throwing out things like, do you think somebody could do drugs and be positive? He looks around and says, yeah, I think someone could. They got STAs, do something stupid, and still be positive, etc. Now today, they can text you. And the text doesn't ring true. They're not the same person. They're promoting that there's just tons of fundies out there that are great. Well, they're not. They are not. I wouldn't give you, as Patton said, a hoot and holler in hell for all of it. Nothing. I've been there. I've seen it. And I'm trying to protect my flock. Maybe there's a good church out there somewhere. Well, I don't know. I haven't run across it. Outside of what the people I know. I have nothing to do with it. That's another place where I take my stand. I never taught you to treat anybody bad. But I told you to associate and fellowship with those who are like-minded. Not somebody who stood in my office and told me to my face, I can't recommend this church to anybody. And you want to fellowship with them? What's wrong with you? I appeal to you. It's called repent of it. It's stupid. Maybe you're thinking, well, maybe I can win them. Maybe you can win them over. That's arrogant. You can't win anybody over. You can only present truth to people, etc. You know, like I said, I had someone write me this. We just love you and Brenda. Well, then why aren't you in my church? You were there for decades. No, you're not. So it's we and them. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I don't need that kind of love. That's not agape. Agape love is I stick in there with you through thick and thin, regardless of what comes up, and continue to teach you like I always did. There's no love there. I don't want that kind of love. You can say you're praying for me. I've had that over and over again. Praying for what? So I don't need that. You put on the airs, oh, we're all like-minded. No, we're not. We don't even agree on what's legitimate and not legitimate on how to found a local church. We don't even agree on that. Put in the flat earth if you want to, too. You're crazy. No, I'm not. You didn't look at this, did you? I don't know what your motivations are, but it's clear as a bell. Everywhere I turn, that we're not on, well, I'm not going into it, on a ball. On a ball that is not stationary, spinning, but hey, it maintains the constellations perfectly over it all the time. And Polaris right up there just perfectly sticks with it, running all the way around the sun and spinning. And there's no problem with that, huh? And then you got all this scripture. The earth cannot be moved. It has pillars. It has foundations. And it has a great big dome over it with the sun, moon, and stars under it. So it's Masonic Jesuit science to deny God and make the Bible look stupid. So Christians are trying to shoehorn that into the Bible. Well, see, it says here's a circle. Circle, okay, fine. There is a big circle. And there's a big ice wall. And there's a whole bunch of territory beyond that ice wall. All the way out the edge of that dome. That they tried to blast a hole in the late 50s. Operation Fishbowl. Really? And their rockets got so high and they just went haywire. I saw again a picture. It was a still picture. I saw it live too because it's on a YouTube deal, or it was. Of the press conference with the astronauts that went to the moon. You ought to see their body language. They're young, handsome guys, but they don't look like guys that went 250,000 miles one way and came back. They look like they have been caught, and they look around like this is dead giveaway. That's just one item. Armstrong and all those guys. So if you ever see that as fake, then maybe you can back up and see the rest of this is fake. 1969. We did it how many times? Round trip. I saw a picture of that so-called module. It looks like the biggest piece of junk you ever saw. And that thing is going to go and land on the moon and come back. It's crazy. If you ever want to look into it, well, we don't have any time left. We don't have any time left. They just hoaxed us. Big time. They can't even show us a picture from the so-called Hubble deal of the earth spinning. They can show us computer-generated pictures and they send from the different years and all. The earth looks different in all of them. It's just weird. Oh, and how do satellites keep up with us? They say all the phone services are down there the result of this hurricane. Huh. Satellites are up there. Shouldn't be a problem. Shouldn't be a problem at all, should it? We went up to high country fishing. We should have been able to get our phones to work. Just a satellite. Everything's run on cell towers and undersea cables. We got balloons, well, big deal. And we got high altitude aircraft to take some real nice pictures. Go find who's manufacturing satellites. Tens of thousands of them are up there, supposedly. It's another joke. And they're going to stay, and what propels these things? And they're all running around the earth while the earth is running around the sun. Mind-boggling. It's all breaking down. It's all breaking down, and all the lies and all the wisdom of these people, it's coming out in the open, and they're scrambling. There isn't a week goes by. They haven't found something else stupid out there. It isn't. And people right now, this is the way the American, and others are too, but this is the way the American population, they damn near believe anything. They have not ever been taught to think critically. You didn't go to school and have basic, intermediate, and advanced logic. So you could, and have exercises where, see where the holes are in this. Critical thinking, you can forget it. We just are sponges and we absorbed all this mess without any, how does this work, sir? How does the Nile River run uphill? Would you please tell me? I'm listening. Because any water I have ever seen always runs downhill. But this one runs uphill. Really? Somebody said they were talking to somebody, it's the Coriolis effect. What? What the hell is that? And then, in any case, it's still running uphill. For many, many miles. I'm embarrassed. I never thought of that. Looked at a globe a million times in my life. I didn't ask one question. How does this river, originating way south and heading north, how does it go up this hill? Is that too much to ask? Somebody ought to sing a song about it. The river that runs uphill. You know, a pop tune. Jackasses. Nothing but contempt for this crap. Yeah, and I feel bad that I was hoaxed with them too, with the rest of you on this. Went to too many Star Wars movies. By the way, what the hell propels something out in outer space? You see fire coming out of the back of one of these? I thought it had to push against something. And it's supposed to be a vacuum. Einstein said that. He said outer space is a vacuum. Really? You're going to find out real soon. I was right as hell about this, right on the money. Not because I'm anything special, but because I got confronted with it, and I had to deal with it. And I dealt with it. How can you lift your hand up to heaven if you don't even know where in the hell it's at? I mean, really, if you're spinning and running around, which direction is this? And those of us down in Australia on a ball, they're up as our down and they're down as our up. God is not the author of confusion. If I point to New York City, you know that I'd better point northeast. Right? It never changes. Our Lord is that close to us at that throne level in terms of hundreds or a few thousand miles at most. That's where that throne room is, right up over that dome, right over the earth. He's not off out there billions of light years. This stupid. Completely remote from the earth, and this little speck out here in the middle of this thing, and everybody's holding perfectly to the sun with all this gravity pulling, and nobody, it doesn't interfere with anything else. They lost the rover on Mars. Suddenly they can't find it now. The one they sent up that said they can send a picture back in 30 minutes. Really? I was listening to a goofy song, and I'll let you go. I was listening to a goofy song. A transmission of binary information came to the earth, and I don't know, it's made up, in 1974. And then this little girl singing, "Are you out there?" And then a lady comes on and says, There's a cluster of a million stars in the constellation of Hercules. And even at the speed of light, it would take us 25,000 years to get there. One of the Paul Hardcastle songs. I play it because I get such a kick out of how stupid it is. Don't let the cosmos run you into around this stuff. Get the doctrine down, pray, and get acclimated to it. We're accountable for what we hear. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.